In Bukhari Sharif, there is a narration when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his event, and Nimrud put Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. When he prepared the fire, it was a very intense fire. And miles away from the fire, the heat would travel through the earth and into the sky. And the effect was such that every person in that town, in that locality, took part in making that fire more intense. Everyone threw objects into that fire to make it burn. And everyone wanted to see that here, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam would be given a punishment, he would be thrown into this fire. So this is such an event that a lot of difficulty and pain and problems could result from such an intended punishment. What we have to see is that through problems and difficulty, what did Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam do? And the example Allah Ta'ala gave in the Quran, and this example is there until Qiyamah for everybody. And this is a big learning. And from this event for us, alhamdulillah, such a great learning is achieved, attained, that a person's life becomes sahal, easy after that. Such a sabak Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam has given. And it's narrated in Bukhari Sharif that when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was put into the fire, then the final words that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned before he was thrown into the fire, or before he fell into the fire, these words were very valuable. And this is the message for us. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. These were the words. And at that time when in the fire, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was put into the fire, these were his words. Then that fire became what? It became ease. That fire, that was fire visibly, but for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it became ease. So in this, the biggest and most the beautiful point that we need to see here and look at is that when a person gets difficulties and problems, and these are from Allah, there's illness, difficulty, issues, worries, family issues, home problems, problems outside. A person's always surrounded by problems at any point in time. Something or other is occurring or happening. And this is the biggest point, that the difficulty itself is the biggest difficulty. The problem itself is the biggest problem. And the reality we need to understand is, for a mu'min, problems are nothing at all. Issues are not issues. A person who has iman, who has link with Allah, for him, problems are not problems. Issues are nothing at all for a mu'min. In reality, when a person is worried, distressed due to an event, something that he's going through, a problem, and he becomes worried and distressed in that illness or in that condition at that time, then in reality what's happening is that Allah Ta'ala's displeasure is coming down on that person. So within that problem or worry, when a person is worried and distressed, that's adab. That's adab on that person. To be worried about the problem, to have a problem about the problem. So to make this easy to understand, to be experiencing issues and problems is not an issue at all. But if you get worried and have problems about the problem, then that is the adab. Because if there's a mu'min, alhamdulillah, he has a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his connection with Allah is correct, then that issue, that problem, will not make that person worried. The illness will not make him worried or her worried. That condition that he's going through, the experience that gives a worry or distress, will not make that person worried. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has written in the destiny of a person, Allah's hikmah, Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Allah knows everything. And Allah knows best that why have I given a sneeze to a person? Why have I given an illness to a person? For which reason? We don't know. We don't know. Now if we start doing chum, we start complaining, not good enough. What is our function and our duty? That when Allah gives us an issue or a concern, we need to see one point that comes out of this all the time, that what is the link between me and my Rabb, subhanallah. This is the hint that Allah Ta'ala has given. The hint that when a person is experiencing problems, this happens to the mu'mineen who Allah Ta'ala loves. And this is to do with them and with every person who has iman. Allah Ta'ala loves that person who has iman. It doesn't matter what level of iman he is, whether he's not praying salah, he's a gangster or a bandit, etc. Allah Ta'ala, even if he has an atom's weight, Allah Ta'ala loves that individual. And the love of Allah is such that Allah Ta'ala wants to save that individual from Jahannam, hellfire. Allah Ta'ala wants to save that person from the fire of hell. Allah Ta'ala doesn't love a person for this reason, I'll give you this many houses, I'll make you happy in the world, according to your needs, I'll give to you what you want in your world, and I'll correct your problems, and I'll make you fit and healthy and wealthy. Allah says, I'll give this to everybody in the world. Even dogs, cats and animals, they eat, they drink. What is this as a reward? No, the reward is that thing that the time to come after a few breaths, the reality that will face us that nobody can stop. And we can try 100,000 times over, but we cannot prevent death. Even if we want to go now, we cannot go. If we want to stop going now, we cannot stop going now. This is such a reality that will confront us. That it's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The timing is in Allah's control. So Allah is looking here. Allah ta'ala says that our whole life, 70, 80 years for example, is just a small, short period of time. It's even smaller than a short period of time. For example, as we started off, it's just been a few minutes. A few minutes have passed. This is also time that has passed. But close to Allah, our life of 70, 80 years is not even a moment. Not even a moment in the kitab of Allah. This is not even a moment. Allah says, for the sake of movement, these people are going to come to me. So these people will go into Jahannam forever. Forever. And they will be destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala wants to make His servant realize that with every event in life, with every moment, with every experience, he needs to see one thing. And this is the reason why we should remember, those people who are the Allah wale, the friends of Allah, they have created a concern in their lives. They don't have horns on their heads. They're not special species of human beings. The Allah wale, the friend of Allah, yes, remember there are different forms of creation, jinn, human beings, etc. So the friend of Allah, if he's a friend of Allah, he has created a link with Allah. He has made a connection with Allah. He has seen himself in reality, and he's not living the life for nothing. He has understood that when I come here for a few moments, I need to see that what is my link with Allah. I'm going to that Rabb, to Allah, and all my mu'amalat and my situation will be unfolded and shown to Allah. So this lies for a few days, and I'm getting trapped in the dunya, running after the dunya. And so what happens then? Allah Ta'ala gives such events in that person's life. The old illnesses have come to me, problems have come to me, issues have come to me, whatever I do, problems continue, I do this, and I've always got bad experiences when I go to work, I have these problems, and people complain and say lots of things. Alhamdulillah, this is Allah's karam, mercy and ihsan, favor, that look towards the real conclusion that what is your link with Allah, your Rabb, what is happening to you? Because Allah Ta'ala gives everything. Everything comes from Allah. Highs and lows come from Allah. Positives and negatives. So why is this happening? Look, what is my link with Allah? Why is this happening to me? And here's where we see the difference. That the person who has a link with Allah, then difficulties and issues will not make that person worried. Because when you worry about the worries, that's the adab. You understand what I'm saying? Very simple to understand it. When you start to worry over the worries, that is the adab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the problem that a person has to confront. And when a person after worries has patience, alhamdulillah, that is not adab. But Allah Ta'ala is elevating his status. Allah is making him realize, and he's running away from his sins, and he's going towards istighfar, and he's rectifying himself for Allah's sake. And the weaknesses, he makes them go far away. Eliminates them. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala with the person of iman has such a link that if Allah Ta'ala has given a hukum, an order, if Allah has given a hukum, an order, then in that order, even if the person wants to succeed through the problem, he doesn't see any difference in an issue or worry. He doesn't get worried. If, for example, Allah Ta'ala gives a certain condition that surrounds a person, when he knows that no difference is made here in terms of what will happen afterwards, then he says that, what is my connection with Allah here? That this problem that I've got, this issue that I've got, that am I becoming worried? These amal that I'm practicing this moment in time before today, is there a problem or is there something lacking? What should I do to improve my situation? For example, salah. Salah is a great ibadah, a great act of worship. Allah calls, invites us to His home, seats us down in His home, in His house, and makes us pray salah. Now, if I look at my salah, then my salah, what mistakes am I making? What's lacking in my salah? How is my salah? What sort of salah should I pray? What are the mistakes in my salah? In other words, the levels, spiritual level and achievement. So if a person has a problem, a difficulty, and he has worries over the problems and the difficulties, then he looks and analyzes that, where are my mistakes? Then he looks at his ibadat, his worship, and he knows that, oh, I've made a lot of mistakes and the mistakes are on me. But the people who do ibadah, they look at the ibadah. The people who do ibadah, worship, they look at the quality of the ibadah. And those people who have understanding and know that there's something lacking, and then they concentrate and analyze their deeds. And they don't just leave themselves just on that situation, on that level. So they start to analyze and pick out the defects. Oh, I broke this sunnah and this salah. Or I wasn't focused at this time. Or I didn't do this ibadah worship with quality. I didn't sit down properly. I didn't do this correctly in sajda, in prostration. Because every action of salah is valuable. Even to raise your finger, to move your finger according to the sunnah, even this opens the doors of paradise for an individual. Even this. As the Mujaddad al-Thani rahmatullah has written his maktubat, that you think that salah and the movements of the salah are minor, that the time of salah to stand and to move your eyes in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and to put your hands on the parts of the body that the way we were taught, and to bow and to prostrate and to sit in the right way, this is a great, great achievement. He said that this is a great achievement. Don't think that the movements of salah are minor. Every movement. So now, you pray salah, pray the high quality. So if our salah is not done correctly, then our link with Allah is not correct. So here, we need to understand the Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam when he said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And great learnings come from it. Now, after saying this statement, he announced to the world that, look, why do you fear? Why are you scared? Hasbunallahu, I have a special relationship with Allah. A special connection. I am a person who has iman. I'm a mu'min. And you are all distressed by looking at this fire. But because what am I saying? Hasbunallahu, that my trust is on Allah and my Rabb, subhanallah. That why do I need to be worried? Why do I need to be, what a maqam, what a status that we are mu'mins and we look at worries and issues and concerns. Now here what we see is that on the problem, has Ibrahim alayhi salam's situation was such that he was not worried about the issue that was confronting him. Rather he smiled and he said that, why should I be worried and distressed about this fire? I have a trust in Allah. I rely on Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Total trust and conviction on my Rabb. Why should I be distressed? Why should I be distressed? And subhanallah, this is a great reward for a mu'min. What a great reward Allah has given. The person who lives his life in this way, then he's wandering around in Jannah, paradise, subhanallah. That he's wandering around in paradise. In the eyes of people, oh, he's not this, he hasn't done this, this condition, he's sick, and this is happening with him, and that's happening with him. Oh, and he doesn't know what's occurring. And the dunya is worried for that person, but he's not worried. She's not worried. What's this? This is the mu'min. He may be surrounded by problems. She may be surrounded by difficulties. But hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He or she says, why should I be worried and concerned? The friends are saying, look, you got problems. He's saying, ni'mal wakeel. Allah is my wakeel, my protector, my master. Whatever occurs in every footstep of my life, I have no worries. When we raise our hands and we fold our hands, when we go to Allah's court, for example, when you go to the court and the wakeel, the solicitor, represents you and you stand back confident and you have assurance that he's my wakeel, he's a good solicitor and he'll fight my case my behalf and I cannot lose ever. So the person who's made Allah his wakil, Allah his protector, and he relies on Allah and true protector, then why would he be worried? And for example, when Allah is the wakil, we're not worried about illness or problems. For example, if I take this tablet, I could be the illness could be cured or I may pass away. So a mu'min is no worry. Whether maut comes or life is there, no worries. But oh, will this happen? Will my problems go away? Will I live further than this? And the worries are coming. Is there any benefit from worrying? Nope. Subhanallah. So I am telling you practical moments of my life in which I experienced these things. I've gone through both sorts of highs and lows in my life. And this is all from Allah subhanallah. That when you make Allah your wakil, your protector, then that's it. End of story. He will assist and all success will come from him. There's nothing to worry about at that time. Nothing to worry about at all. But when does this occur? We should hear this clearly. When does this occur? This feeling and this emotion is acquired at that time when our lives are passing by that whatever Allah Ta'ala says and we do. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah. When we live our life in the way of obedience, that whatever Allah Ta'ala says and instructs, we do. In the morning we wake up, because Allah says wake up. Come now, we come now. Fast, we keep the fast. Leave this, we say we leave this. Allah Ta'ala says, do this, then we go towards Allah, says, totally don't do this action, we don't do this action. So when this link and attachment with Allah is made, and the obedience to Allah is at this level, then what is created? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, the link with Allah, connection with Allah, strength. People say, tell me wazifa, I've got a problem, I read this 500 times every day, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And this is what we say. So read this, and everything will be done, everything will be sorted out. People give wazifas, isn't it? I read this much, this tasbih, or this verse. These are not wazifas, these are the messages of life, my friends. Look, Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam recited this, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, recite this and your problems will go away. No, don't we see that how he implemented this verse, and he demonstrated his experience, and people had worries, and he laughed and said, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah loved this statement so much, that Allah Ta'ala said that, look, he has opened, unraveled the secret for the whole ummah. The secret to success, the have tawakkal Allah, make Allah your wakeel in a proper way, and then what worries will you have? Then your life will become Jannah. Paradise. But how do we make this? In the same way that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did this and demonstrated this. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we have worries and problems, the reasons for our worries and concerns is this is adab from Allah. It becomes adab. That Allah Ta'ala says that a problem becomes adab for a person, that he feels, oh, I want to commit suicide and give my life away. And people, they give their lives away because they're so worried and they have depression or problems. They have no sukoon, no peace. And due to their problems, their worries, they make all of their problems and worries the biggest worry. They have difficulty. And every second they're running around, left, right, forward, backwards. Allah, what's going to happen now? What do I do now, Allah? And Allah, what will happen now? What do I do now? And they're running around afraid. Subhanallah. This is adab. This is adab. This is punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the scenario with a mu'min, with a believer. Problems should never come to a mu'min. Issues should never come to a mu'min. Because from problems and worries, this it shouldn't become adab. We make the adab ourselves. So if Allah Ta'ala wanted to give adab, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam would not have had difficulties and worries. No, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Whenever a person says, alhamdulillah, this is from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala gives such assistance that a person is amazed. That how did Allah solve this crisis or problem? I remember an event, there were two pious elders. And there was such a time that at that time there were lots of pious elders. For example, this golden age that has passed before us, there were a lot of pious personalities. This was a golden generation. And there were many awliyaullah, kutub and ghaus and great walis at that time. There were two pious elders whose event I remember. Fazlullah Qureshi rahmatullahi alayh. Hazrat Fazl Ali Qureshi rahmatullahi alayh. Fazlullah Qureshi rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah Ta'ala put noor into his grave. And in his time, generation another great pious elder. As I said, this was the golden generation, a lot of walis of Allah. And Hazrat Shaykh Zakri Sahib was there at that time. And the other great person was Hazrat Ahmad Lahoyi rahmatullah alayh. You will have heard his name. And great status, Mufassir of the Quran, Tafsir. His Tafsir, subhanAllah, has no comparison. Every evening yet there was Tafsir. And in Lahore, he would have his class and majlis, and thousands of people would sit. First, he would do Dhikr of Allah every day, daily. Then after Dhikr, after Maghrib, he would do Tafsir of the Quran. And it was a great, great gathering. And many people who had no iman became Muslim at that time. He had such a great Tafsir because he was a great wali of Allah. And he had Kashf. He was a person who experienced kash regularly. So both of them were great walis of Allah, but they never met each other. And what happened? Hazrat Fazl Ali Qureshi rahmatullah alayhi was coming from Tabligh once, and Hazrat Abdul Malik Khaniwa al-Wale rahmatullah, who was his khalifa, great khalifa, and he was with him. Now I'm telling you about hasbunallahu, that in which way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who has trust in Allah, how his difficulties are eliminated, how his desires are fulfilled. This is an example that has come to my mind, and maybe you will understand what I'm saying after you hear what I'm saying. Yeah? So, Hazrat Abdul Malik rahmatullah said that when we were passing through Lahore, then Hazrat said, Malik, he said, yes, Hukum, order me, Hazrat. He said, I feel like eating fish. The walis of Allah, they have ajib and great status. He said, I feel like eating the fish curry. I don't know why I'm feeling like this. And mashallah, they were fakirs, they didn't have money. His Hazrat Sahib didn't have money, nor did his murid. And the murid said, is it? He was silent. What could he say? That he felt like, obviously, the sheikh saying, I want to eat fish. And the student was there, then they saw a masjid, and Hazrat said, whose masjid is this? And people said that, oh, Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori gives dust of Quran. And he said, okay, fine, let's stop here, be seated for a while. Hazrat said, and then he said, when Hazrat said this, we entered into the masjid, and there was you have the ghusl khana in the heat, people go there, you go to the washroom, you do wuzu, and you can have a bath before salah. So before Zuhr, they went to the ghusl khana, the ghusl facility, to have a bath. And the student, Abdul Malik, said, I stood outside, and he said that Hazrat came, Hazrat Ahmad Ali Lahori was coming in with a unique emotion at that time. He came out of his hujra. He said, who's come? Who has come? Who has come? And he pointed towards me and said, who has come? He said, Hazrat, there's nobody special, but Hazrat has come. Hazrat Fazal al-Qurayshi, he said, is it? Where is he? He said, he's doing ghusl, having a bath. He said, okay. And he said he was looking sort of concerned and emotional. He went back home, and then he brought some food. And he brought the food and represented it. Then it was fish that had been fried, and it was fish that Hazrat had desired. SubhanAllah. And Hazrat Abdul Malik Khanibal from Khalibal is saying this. And then the next point is something to hear, because they were all, mashallah, great walis of Allah. And this was some minor event. So when they finished eating, and he went separately, Hazrat Ahmad al-Lahori went to Hazrat Fazal al-Qurayshi, or vice versa, and he said, Hazrat, that the situation was this, that when we departed, then he asked for fish, and fish came. The fish came, but I want to ask you, that how did you know that he wanted to eat fish? SubhanAllah, he asked the question. That how did you know that fish was the order of the day? SubhanAllah, he wanted to know that what was the start, what was the event that took place that he knew about the fish? A beautiful answer came from Hazrat Ahmad al-Lahori. He said that it's not my achievement, it was his achievement. Say SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, it's not my achievement, it's his achievement. That he didn't even put his foot into the masjid. Allah Ta'ala inserted into my heart that you need to cook fish today. SubhanAllah. So then I cooked fish, and I brought the fish. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Insan, the human being. If a human being makes a connection with Allah, when Allah loves his servant, then Allah Ta'ala says, I don't even want desires to go astray. Not that I don't have any money, I don't have taqa, how will I get the mal, where will I eat from? Just express your desire. And Hazrat expressed his desire to his murid, and he said, I feel like this, and who is the one who gives? Allah. Hasbunallah. But what a link, he had a great link with Allah, that whatever Allah Ta'ala had said, he was implementing. That's why today his name is alive, and due to his name we are sat here. We are seated and we're doing dhikr. The thawab will go to him. As a Fazal al-Qurayshi, rahmatullah alayh. So my brothers, now let's think for a moment. Let's look down in ourselves. Let's look into our lives. He didn't eat the amount we eat today. He didn't have the ease that we have today, the ease. He didn't have the health that we have the health today. He didn't have the car that we have, like the vehicles today. He didn't have bank balances like the amount of funds and money we have today. He didn't have the ease and the resources like the resources we have today. Is this a life that we are living? Let's think for a few moments of what link do we have with Allah? That are we grateful to Allah? Are we grateful? Tell me, are we really grateful? From morning until evening, what do? We disobey, we disobey, we disobey. Allah says, don't do this, and we keep on doing that. No, what can we do? We're forced to do this. Allah Ta'ala says, don't do this action, I'll just do that action. That thing that Allah Ta'ala said is haram, we make it halal. And when Allah Ta'ala says something is haram, we make it halal. That according to our desires, we live our lives according to us, and such a generation has come now, that totally everything has gone down. Everything. Halal and haram, nothing's left. No differentiation. A verse is coming to my mind, the whole ayah is there. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned how people leave the right and go towards the wrong. The example, Allah Ta'ala has given an example of a qawm, of a nation. So this is, Allah Ta'ala said, you're playing games, you're lying, you're deceiving yourself, and you're putting a wrong allegation. Allah Ta'ala said, I've not said this is halal. How can you say this is halal as a Muslim? How can you say this? So from top to toe, our lives are lived like this. We say, oh, please give me a wazifa. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. You can keep on reciting Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. It won't have an effect on you because you're doing the wrong actions. You're earning the problems. Brothers, people, if we want to attain ease and happiness from Allah, we want to eliminate our problems, we want to make this dunya Jannah. Because a mu'min's life, this world can also be Jannah. There's a part of a hadith or a statement that the shan, the level of a mu'min is that when he passes away, he's as if that he's departing from this Jannah to another Jannah. He doesn't see any difference, alhamdulillah. And his feelings become more easy, and mujahidat, efforts are less, and there on top of eating and drinking, there's ease upon ease, and we're going to Jannah, and the person we told that, come on, let's go. And what you'll see, he'll see, though it's time for Salah. Is it time for Salah? SubhanAllah. And he can't hear the Adhan. Quickly, let's do Jamaat. He'll say this in Jannah. And the angel will say, what are you talking about? There's no namaz, there's no Salah. Enjoy yourself, sleep. He'll say, no. I have to pray Salah, Fajr. He'll say, what's the time here for Fajr Salah? You'll ask in Jannah, SubhanAllah. So there's no mujahada, no effort. And they say, look, make it habitual here. Sleep here, enjoy yourself, relax. And tell us, what's your menu? What breakfast do you want? What are you talking about, Salah? Tell us your menu. What Salah, namaz? That's finished now. You don't need to do that anymore. That Salah used to pray and worship Allah. Talk about seeing Allah now. Talk about Allah's didar. What are you talking about? So this is the situation we need to bring ourselves into. Person will go new into paradise and will be habitual in the dunya praying Salah. Just like a person comes new from Tabligh Jalla, quickly, then he says, oh, Salah, Salah, Salah. Then where are you going? Where are you going? It's not time yet. No, I need to go to pray Salah. And slowly, that strength gets down. So this will be a hal one. Will be people who prayed Salah in the dunya, who made effort, when we put into Jannah, we say, what's the time for Salah? Where's the clock? Where's the watch? I can't see. Where's the timetable? They'll say, look, make him cool down. Look here now, you've come into Jannah, you'll realize what happens to you, Mia. You'll forget Salah and prayer. Only one thing goes in. What's that? That you, due to which you have reached into paradise. The all ibadat is finished here, apart from one ibadah, which is the dhikr of Allah, that will continue in the hereafter. And we don't do that action here. Imagine salah, namaz, fasting there will cease, zakah will cease there, sadaqah will cease there, everything will cease there. But here, what we have finished off, that will continue there in the hereafter. Aha, SubhanAllah will continue there. Alhamdulillah will continue there. Allah's tasbihat will continue there. Where there in the hereafter will be called for something. That, for example, if you want something, you'll say, SubhanAllah, straight away that time will come. Yes, the angels will come and say, please order us, instruct us. And a person who doesn't know these kalimats in the world, he's never done dhikr, then what will he say in the hereafter? Will he say these kalimats? So brothers, let's correct our lives. Let's use our wisdom, understanding. Very quickly, death will come. Today we're sat here. Maybe the person who sat here, let's do tawbah today. And we'll succeed. Do we break a promise to Allah? The benefit will come. Allah says, benefit is for you, not for me. Allah says, if you listen to my instructions and orders, if I say to you, stop these actions, you stop. Allah says, if I tell you to do this and you do this, and don't look back, because this is Allah's hukam. Whose hukam is this? Allah. Just like you go on a motorway, 70 miles an hour, and then we see, look forward, that hey, 70 miles an hour, is this the speed limit? How fast can I drive? Then how will you stop? Don't we see? Forwards, backwards, what's the speed limit? That the order is 70, and I can't go further than this. I'm not going 100, can I? Can I drive 100? No, I just keep on putting the accelerator down. I'm not worried about the speed limit. So this is Allah Ta'ala's hukam. Don't look, what's he saying? What's she doing? What's he saying? There's a loss here, no loss there. Totally not. It's proof from Sharia that this is wrong, or this is Allah's hukam, and don't do this action. Then stop, just like the brakes are applied. In the same way, then put your hands down. No, I cannot do this action. This is haram. No, this cannot be done. So when this feeling and emotion arises, Allah says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Then you'll see the enjoyment here, that mine and your tawakkal, the relationship, how he strengthened. Allah says, you trust in me. Now you see, you've trusted your Rabb. Then Allah says, see what I give to you. See what I give to you. What a great statement. What a great fact. Allah says, you have left the dunya and have believed in me and you've trusted in me. And your worries and problems and difficulties, I'll eliminate them because they cannot trouble you. They will become a cause of ease for you. They'll show you the path to success. So brothers, let's make a promise to ourselves, to Allah. Why we sat down like dummies and we give up? 2 points we've understood today from the discussion of today. 2 points we summarize. So you should try to implement these. The first point that we summarize from today is that in front of Allah, we need to trust in Allah and create a connection with Allah. That Allah, we are your servants. Do you understand what I'm saying? In front of Allah, we need to create trust and tawakkal Allah. We need to do this. And if we don't have this link, then here we are also in Jahannam and there we will also be in Jahannam. I tell you this clearly. Here, if we don't have the link with Allah, that for example, we cannot lie and say, oh, I am wali Allah and I am close to Allah. Within a second, we realize Allah Ta'ala has not even given us a problem. We'll see how much tawakkal and trust in Allah we have got. As soon as the problem comes and surrounds us, we'll see how much connection we have with Allah. So we need to solve our problems in life. Even if we're old and we've passed all our life here, there are old people, young people, middle-aged people, we need to ask today, if I've lived my life without trust in Allah and relying on Allah, then what do I need to do today? Then I need to strengthen my relationship with Allah. Do you understand this? Yes. In the Urdu, I don't know the other word that's coming. We need to fix the issue that we have. We need to strengthen our resolve and connection with Allah. You understand that? And secondly, what we learn from today, how do we do this? How do we get to this level? How will we strengthen our connection? How will we get rid of genuine issues and problems? We'll do it in this way, that when we start to listen to all of Allah Ta'ala's orders. When Allah Ta'ala orders us and we start to obey, then this relationship itself will develop automatically. And as long as we don't listen to Allah, then this cannot happen. Though I've left one amal, one point, every point Allah Ta'ala has given, every footstep of ours should be in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's obedience. We should not take one step in life which is in disobedience to Allah, and then we'll see how we strengthen Allah's relationship. No wazifa, no recitation, no chilla, no going into isolation. This many days, there's no chillas. Chilla doesn't mean, I'm not talking about the chillas of the tabligh jamaat, I'm talking about 40 days. If you do any action, that's called chilla. 40 days, yes? So for example, I say to you, 40 days, do this wazifa, recite this. What do we call this? Chilla. Yes, one is chilla. The brothers who go in tabligh, that is chilla. 40 days going in the path of Allah, that's different. So when I speak about chilla, that means wazifa, reciting something for 40 days. Like today people say, 40 days recite this, or 40 days do this action, then jinns will come in your control. And 40 days I sit in darkness and recite verses, that jinn will come, he'll become my friend, then I'll control him. I say, go and do this, and jinn will do this. When people do this, don't they? They try to control the jinns. So, this is not the situation in Islam. Islam is not a cult life or tradition. Recite this, this will happen. Recite that, that will happen. No. Here there is one point. That obey Allah, become the obedient servant of Allah. And between Allah and His servant, there's a very valuable relationship. Very valuable relationship. And whoever said this, then the person who says that Allah, that Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. So then why do you think I'm far? Allah says that you should, even if you think that I want to eat fish, then Allah says, I will send my khadim servant who will prepare the fish for you. And for example, if you think, I haven't even eaten fish in my dreams. As Al-Hari Ramadhan said, that myself automatically I'm amazed that how my wife cooked fish, where did I bring the fish from? I ran, I bought the fish, suddenly it came. We had never eaten fish before today. This was the hukum of Allah, that my servant desires to eat fish, and I did this action so that Allah's order and His servant's desire would be fulfilled. So brothers, this is not difficult in life to attain this level. It's not difficult, that we need to strengthen our relationship with Allah. The third thing that I've understood today, alhamdulillah, that there were very valuable points, the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. That the person, when he does ibadah, all ibadat, when they will end, a person who will stay in paradise, should we not do that action which will continue in paradise? So don't leave this ibadah of dhikr, which will continue in Jannah. We should be steadfast and regular in the dhikr of Allah. So these are the three learnings of today that we need to do, alhamdulillah. That's why this sitting of ours today, our majlis will be successful, our coming will be successful, sitting will be successful, our coming will be mubarak, Allah has sent us, that will be accepted. If we just listen and go away, oh, I came and I went, then there's no benefit from this, is there? If we don't do the right thing. If we don't learn, do you understand what I'm saying? So do we make a niyyah today, strengthen our resolve, a niyyah, intention from today we will make effort, that Allah, we want to strengthen our connection with you. What is that? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Okay, let's recite Durood Sharif.